first verse. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, the bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The disciples asked him, "Why then do the teacher of the law say Elijah must come first?" Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he was talking to them about John the Baptist. This is the word of God for the people of God. The Transfiguration. I was thinking earlier this week, praying, asking the Holy Spirit to guide me, what's the topic going to be this Sunday? And the Holy Spirit gave me the Transfiguration. And I was thinking, well, that's a good deal. Nobody ever preaches on the Transfiguration. But Andy busted my bubble this morning and said that one of the times that he was filling in for me, he preached on the Transfiguration. And his comment was, as well, we'll see who was right and who was wrong. And I politely informed him that I'm the one that's right. Oh, thank you. So our gospel reading this morning is all about a star witness. He came to answer the question that was on everybody's lips. That question was, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Who was the star witness? Who do you think? Who was that witness? It was none other than God the Father himself. God was the witness to this event that took place on the top of this mountain. He is the one who answered the question by revealing Jesus' glory to the disciples, Peter, James, and John, and by saying, this is what he said, we read this morning, "This is my beloved Son, and I am fully pleased with him." That is, I can't come up with the word. Can you imagine how prideful Jesus felt when he heard the Father, the Holy Father, say, "This is my Son, And I am really, really proud of him. And the relevance of all this for us is summed up in three simple words. The whole event of the Transfiguration is summarized with three words. Listen to him. The Father Almighty, the Master of the universe, the Creator of all things, declared, "This is my Son. He is doing my work, and you need to listen to him because his words come directly from me." The gospel reading is known as the story of the Transfiguration. When I looked at the passage, my first reaction was, why did the event take place? Why did the event of the Transfiguration take place? And why did it happen the way it happened? I think the key that the answer can be found in the context of the story. In the previous chapter, Matthew 16, we read that people have been asking the question, who is Jesus? Now you got to think of this. We need to put this in proper perspective. Who is Jesus? Now put yourself as one of the people that are in the crowd that follows Jesus around, and how they experienced and seen the things that Jesus was doing, healing people, returning eyesight to the blind, clothing the naked, feeding the hungry. And the story goes on and on and on. Why would we be surprised if people in the crowd were taking, who's this guy? What's his name? What's he doing? Who is this guy? Can you imagine the scuttlebutt that's going around in the crowd? How would you be if you were in that crowd and you were seeing and experiencing all these things that this guy they call Jesus is doing? Who is he? Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" I think he was testing the disciples. Is it clear from this response that it was a hot topic? This had to be the number one topic of the day, of the period, of the time that Jesus spent on earth until he rose again. This had to be the number one topic. So the disciples told Jesus, "Well, some say that you're John the Baptist." I guess some could see it that way. John the Baptist was prophesied as well as the Son of God. Some say that Elijah. Even some of them say that you're Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. If it hadn't been hot gossip at the time, they wouldn't have said that. But it wasn't just a crowd who was talking about Jesus. This is going to surprise you, maybe? His own disciples were asking the same question. Who is this guy that we left our livelihood for? On the spur of the guy asked us to follow. Who is this guy? Listen to what Jesus said. Then he asked him, "Who do you say I am?" Wow. Put yourself in that spot. You're a disciple. You've been following this guy. You've been seeing all that he does. And all of a sudden, this guy named Jesus asks you, who do you say I am? How would you answer? The question, who was Jesus, was burning on everybody's lips, even the disciples. And in the previous chapter, we see the human responses. Now in chapter 17, we see the divine response. I believe the transfiguration took place because God the Father wanted to answer that question once and for all. Who is Jesus? Let's take a few minutes this morning and look at the event we call the transfiguration. Let's look at some of the detail. There were three major events that occurred on the mountain. First, Jesus' appearance was transformed. Second, Moses and Elijah appeared with him on that mountain. And third, the Father spoke to the disciples. Oh boy, you're one of these disciples, right? Here's this voice coming out of this white cloud that's hanging above the event. And that voice is speaking directly to me. Would that not change your life? Would that not change your attitude? Would that not humble you before the presence of Almighty God? And all of these were part of the Father's response to the question of who is Jesus. So let's look at that first significant event, the actual transfiguration. Jesus led Peter, James, and John high up on a mountain. There he was transfigured before them. Now, think of this. If you're the disciple, and you see your best friend that we call Jesus standing there, and all of a sudden, his face was shining like the sun and his clothes became white as light. How would you respond? What would you think? Oh, I don't know. Who is Jesus? Part of the Father's response to that question of who is Jesus was to reveal Jesus in all his full glory. That's what this was all about. God knew that if he just said, this is my son, without any transfiguration event, that there would be people that would not believe him. The question would remain. But God lit up Jesus' face and his clothes. And showed his son to the disciples in all of his glory. Jesus' clothes became dazzling white. We may recall a similar incident that occurred in the Old Testament. What would that incident be? Moses. Moses came down the mountain having been in the presence of God, and his face shone so much, reflecting the glory of God, that he had to wear a veil. Now this is bright. This is calling white, white. This is shining. This is eventful. In the same way as the glory of God was reflected in Moses, so God the Father revealed to Peter and James and John, Jesus, his Son, in his glory, confirming that Jesus is exactly who God said he is. Son of the Almighty Father. The Son of somebody that loves us so much that he was going to sacrifice his Son because so we could be forgiven and we could be one great big happy family up in heaven. The second significance event that happened at the Transfiguration was that Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus. Now, did that strike you as a little strange? Why would Moses and Elijah be there? I mean, come on, this is all about who is Jesus. What do these cowboys know? They left a long time ago. This way. Moses and Elijah represented the laws of the prophets in Old Testament. And I find it significant that after God the Father had spoken, Moses and Elijah disappeared while Jesus remained alone. That's what this is all about. As one Bible commentator put it this way, the law and the prophets have served their turn and passed away. He who is the fulfillment of both remains alone. Now catch this. Elijah and Moses were prophets of the Old Testament. And the Old Testament was the law that the people had to live by. It was a law. It was written. It was recorded. You need to do this, 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 etc., etc. And Moses and Elijah represented that law. But, oh, here comes a new cowboy on the street. Cowboy, I should go. Jesus, cowboy, should I? Huh? Here comes the Son of God. And he's standing there alone. What do you think the disciples were thinking? Another aspect of God the Father answer is that Jesus is the one, get this now, we know this, we've been taught this, our catechism has proven it, as well as the words in the Bible. When Jesus arrived, he replaced the old covenant. Now notice I didn't say he eliminated the old covenant. I just said that he takes precedent over the law of the Old Testament. A new era is on the horizon. The old covenant that is represented by Moses and Elijah had passed away, and the new covenant has come. That is who Jesus Christ is. The new covenant. The Son of Almighty God. The old covenant, you notice God said that he represents both the old and the new, but Jesus takes precedent over the old covenant. So we still have to know the Old Testament laws. We still have to live by them. We call them the Ten Commandments, right? But Jesus is now in charge. The new covenant has come through the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The new covenant came with the birth of Jesus. The new covenant was signed, sealed, and delivered with the resurrection of the Son of God. The new covenant is a relationship with Jesus. Now, one morning at coffee, we were discussing the difficulty of getting new people to come to church. And one of the guys said to me, how can I help people when they say, I live a good life? In fact, I'm as good as those who go to church. I don't need to come to church. How do we answer that? I think the answer must lie in the fact that Christianity does not solely equate with being good. That's what the Transfiguration taught us, told us, commanded us. Christianity lies in our relationship with Jesus. We come to church to worship God. But we can only get to heaven through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That is part of the new covenant. The third significant event that happened at the Transfiguration was that God the Father told the disciples who Jesus is. It's interesting that when God the Father spoke, he simply said, this is my Son. Not only that, but I'm fully pleased with him. But most importantly, listen to him. The relevance to us today is what? God the Father's final three words were, listen to Jesus. And when God the Father had finished speaking, Elijah and Moses were gone. It was the holy indicator of Jesus bringing in the new covenant placing the old covenant on the back burner, so to speak. This speaks to me of the primacy of Jesus. It's interesting that God the Father did not say, listen to Jesus and Moses and Elijah. He just simply said, listen to Jesus. But remember, we said earlier that Jesus now represents the old covenant and the new covenant. So Jesus is there. He will direct us through the laws of the old covenant. And then guide us through the promises of the new covenant. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now Jesus is putting himself here in that one little position. Here's God, here's all the rest of us, and right here is Jesus. Right next to God. And he said, in order to get here, you got to come through me. How do we do that? We study the Word. We worship the Father. We praise Jesus. And at some point, we humble ourselves and we ask Jesus Christ to come into our life. We ask Jesus Christ to be our Savior. Only through Jesus Christ can we get to the Father. We've read that we're in the great white throne judgment. Jesus Christ is sitting there in the presence of the Father. And he's telling, as we come before that throne, Jesus is telling God what we are, who we are, what we did, what we haven't done. enhancing the word that only through Jesus can we get to God. It's not a matter of being good. It's a matter of coming through Christ. The question that I would like to leave with you this morning is, who do you think Jesus is? Hopefully, you'll go away from here this morning with a new aspect of who Jesus is and what Jesus represents. If you believe what God the Father said, then the challenge is, are we prepared to listen to what Jesus says? Are we prepared? Do we believe? Are we obedient enough to God the Father to listen to Him? Come into our lives through Jesus. Intervene for us. Show us the way. Be the Son of God. Hear us as we come to you. And all of God's people said,